All right, that should be on. There we go. All right. Ephesians chapter 6 this evening. As you're turning, I'll open the message with a word of prayer. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to open your word, and I pray tonight that you would just come and join us. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would be welcome in our hearts. Lord, help us to open our hearts to you. I pray that as we talk about prayer tonight, Father, as I speak the things you've laid on my heart, give me help. I pray that you would be honored in this. And Lord, I pray that you'd remind us of a lot of truth that we already know. And Lord, challenge our hearts in a way that maybe they haven't been challenged before about prayer. God, you offer us so much help in this life. I pray that you would just burden our hearts to take every bit of it, Lord, to take all the help that you offer us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're talking in context about spiritual warfare. We discussed the armor that is given here, and again, I'll remind you not to think too much of the helmet and the breastplate and the feet and the belt, but remember, these are spiritual things. These are for spiritual battle, and so we need to make sure we're looking at God's word and remembering what those things represent and applying those things. And so it's easy for us to get caught up in the armor and forget to read our Bible and to have the truth with us. But talking about spiritual warfare. Prayer, if the armor of God prepares us for battle, praying is battling. Prayer is one of the most difficult things that we do as believers. Think about that for a second. How easy is it to sit down and pray for more than 2 minutes? I mean, I remember when someone first challenged me about how much time I was spending in prayer, I said, oh, I can do this. I mean, I said, okay, I'm going to pray for 15 minutes. I sat down, I prayed for every one of my family members, anybody I could think of their name. I prayed for all of my friends. I prayed for all the preachers I knew. I prayed for all the missionaries I knew. I prayed for everything I could think of to pray for. I looked at the clock, it had been like 6 minutes, and I was like, whew, this is going to be difficult. But prayer, though, is such an important, such an emphasized thing that the Lord has for us to do. You could study. I mean, there are books written. I have at least 3 books in my office, I mean, you know, that are this thick on prayer. They don't all contain the same information. And prayer is, there's so much to it. It's not just asking. It is asking. It's talking with God, spending time with Him. But tonight, we're going to try to look, not exhaustively, we're not going to cover the whole subject of prayer. But tonight, I just want to really kind of focus on prayer and the aspect of spiritual warfare. And so here in Ephesians 6, we're presented with the armor. He emphasizes, you know, he gives us each piece and tells us to have that with us. We'll begin in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're reminded of that from time to time, aren't we, Brother Matt? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so just reminding you, refreshing that passage in your minds, each piece of the armor is an aspect essentially of our salvation, but of what God has given us to protect us spiritually. And so thinking, you know, about the shield of faith, what we know about God, what we believe, what we trust God for, and the help that can be guarding us against the lies, the fiery darts of the devil. And so verse 11 tells us we're trying to stand against the wiles of the devil. Do you know that that the devil realizes he can't take down a believer, but if he can confuse a believer, if he can separate you from your source of strength, from your source of power, that he can defeat you? And so it is so important, you know, I think in terms of military combat, when I think of this, and the first thing you go for is their line of communication. And then right after that, you go for their supply line, for their reinforcements, and make sure that they are cut off, and then you can defeat them. And if you have a place that is so fortified that you can't defeat them, you just wait it out. You starve them once you've cut off their supplies, and you wait till they're discouraged. And listen, all of this applies to our spiritual lives. In terms of military and that type of thing, we can so easily see, man, the importance of communication. Today, though the military especially, but even all of us, we have so readily available to us ways of communication. I mean, we are able to communicate to people around the world all the time, anytime. And listen, our lines of communication are open. But in spiritual warfare today, we're in the same boat that we've always been in. There's one way to talk to God, and that's prayer. And we neglect it. And so, tonight I'll remind you, as we talk about prayer, that verse 10 tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so with this, automatically, prayer is a matter of dependence on God. The thing that drives us to pray is the fact that God is our reinforcements. God is our source of strength. God is our deliverer. God, as we talked about in Sunday school, is our refuge. And so to the degree that we are dependent on God is the degree to which we will pray. And so we are supposed to, in approaching spiritual warfare, we are supposed to right off the bat say, this is something that I cannot do in my own strength. I am not enough to combat the devil. I am not enough to overcome his tricks. I am not enough. I don't have enough wisdom. I don't have enough fortitude to withstand the devil's attacks. And so because of my own frailty, I must seek God. I must pray. I must rely on Him and Him alone. And so be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might in itself is a call for us to pray. It is a reminder of the necessity of prayer. And so it first takes realizing that we aren't strong in the Lord. Sometimes I think we approach this passage, we begin at verse 11, we read to verse 17, and we think that we are some like macho men, that we are, you know, the Sylvester Stallones of our spiritual realm here, and that we're supposed to go out and gun down the enemy all by ourselves. That we're supposed to flex our spiritual muscles, that we're supposed to be like, yeah, we are more than conquerors, yeah, and we're going to go fight the devil. But if we'll get the point of the passage, The point of the passage is we are humbly relying on God and God alone. And this can only be done through His strength and His might. So it's actually, if you will, we are to deflate ourselves. We are to humble ourselves when we approach this. And so any person, let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. And so it's something that we have to be very careful of approaching this matter, because it is through Christ alone. And in order to be successful against a foe, we must know his methods. I think his methods have been emphasized, have been explained in Scripture. You know something? I'll liken this to high school wrestling, if that's all right. Some of y'all are familiar with wrestling, the sport, not the television stuff. That's wrestling. And so not the stuff where you hit people with chairs, but go with me here. In wrestling, they taught us that a good offense is to attack. Okay, a good offense is you attack first, and you go. And you want to, the first thing you want to do is you want to get a hold of your opponent, and you want to get them to the mat. You want to try to take them down. And once you take them down, you should be in control the whole time. You want to have his hands, and you want to make sure that he's not able to do anything. I mean, that's pretty basic, right? I mean, you want to be in control. And they taught us to a degree well enough to where the person we were taking down, they should never be able to do anything at all. I mean, from the moment they hit the mat, I mean, they're boom. Because I've got his hands, and I can make him go wherever I want him to go. And so thinking, though, now knowing the goal of someone who's coming after you in a wrestling match, you don't want him to grab your leg. You don't want him to take you down to the mat. And if someone did take you down to the mat before you got them, you absolutely did not want him to grab your hands, because if he grabbed your hands and he had control of you, he could make you do whatever he wanted. I mean, he could keep you down on the mat. Very basic, right? You don't want to let him do to you the thing that you want to do to him. Basically, right, brothers? And so, now stop and think about your spiritual life. The devil wants to trick us. The devil wants to separate us from God. And so we ought to all the more cling to our line of communications with God. We ought to all the more go to prayer and go to scriptures. Once you've practiced and once you have enough experience wrestling, I learned this. When you begin wrestling with an opponent and you start to feel a tug on your elbow, then you know, you already think, well, if I was him, this is what I'd be doing. And so you say, one of the things, if you feel him pushing at you, you never push back. Because as soon as you push back, he's going to throw you. He's going to use your momentum against you, and he's going to throw you. You begin learning what it feels like if he's gonna do this and try to pin you, if he's gonna put you in a cradle, if he's gonna lock his hands together and put you in a hold, and you try to respond as quickly as you can so that you can avoid it. If you could lock your legs together and kick hard, I mean, right before he gets his grip locked in, you might have a chance at not getting pinned and the match being over. And so you begin to get quicker and quicker at sensing what the enemy is doing and responding. Prayer. We ought to be growing in our sensitivity and understanding more when, listen, I have seen so many people at church that have been good people, good hearts, serving the Lord, and something comes along and offends them. And I'm not talking about offense tonight, but I'll just say, though, that when things start going the right direction, when it comes to spiritual warfare, the greatest enemy to God working in a church, the devil will come in and cause disunity. He will come in and he'll cause somebody to believe something about God, about somebody else, that will cause division. And so what I would urge you to do, Pastor and I have been praying. We have been, there are good things happening. If you feel in your heart bitterness, if you feel in your heart, you just get like, man, that guy over there, he said or did or hasn't done or whatever, just stop and pray. Just stop and pray before the devil gets what he wants. Just stop and ask the Lord to help you with that. Listen, so many times I have seen it happen, and prayer is the answer to those things. But because that is a wile, that is a fiery dart of the devil. And so tonight, a conscious understanding that the devil is at work and that his methods are lies and things that cause disunity. Let's look at Job chapter 1 real quick. You turn to Job chapter 1. The Bible says the Lord is our source of strength. He is our strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The devil wants to cut off your power. The devil's a liar. He's a deceiver. That's his mode of operation. In Job chapter 1, we have an unusual opportunity here. Let's take advantage of it. We have the enemy telling us how it is and what it is he wants to accomplish. And so Job chapter 1, verse 9, we'll pick up. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" And so most of us are probably familiar with the context here in the book of Job. The Bible tells us that there was a day when the sons of God appeared before the Lord to present themselves, and whether that is something in the heavenly realm or whether that's kind of referring to a worship service, the fact is that we're getting a glimpse of the spiritual side of things. And so I've often wondered, Pastor, if maybe when we're meeting for church here, if you know, the devil is appearing before God in the spiritual realm, he's saying, what about him? What about her? What about him? What about in the church service even? But what's happening, though, is the devil, Satan himself, picks out Job. And the Bible's already given us his introduction there. It speaks for him, speaks for itself that Job feared God and eschewed evil. And so he says, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land?" I don't know about you, but I want that to be said about my family. I want that to be said about me, that look, God has hedged me on every side. He blesses the work of my hands. But here's the thing. The devil says, "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath," and read that with me, "he will curse thee to thy face." The devil wants nothing more than to take one of God's people and turn them against him, make them curse God. And so that's essentially what the devil is after here. He wants to wreck the life of Job. The life of Job is one that glorifies God. And so he thinks that by attacking him physically, that he can cause him to curse God. And so the devil is going to attack his things, and he's going to attack him in a way to take everything that he has. I want you to understand tonight If he can make you doubt God and keep you from praying, he can defeat you. When we tell people about our faith, you know, they'll tell us, oh, well, I go to church. I go to the, you know, I'm a Catholic, or I go over here. I'm a Methodist, you know, and we have our church. I'm on the roll. I'm a member, this and that, you know, and we say, look, we're not a religion. We're a relationship. Those of us who have been married or in a dating relationship, what's a relationship without communication? Dead. It is a living arrangement, right? It is a bad habit. I mean, it is something that we want to get rid of. Communication is everything in a relationship. When this thing that we tell people, no, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ and with God, and that's not religion. It's living with God's help and God living inside of me. I belong to Him and these type of things. But when the truth is that we don't speak to Him and we don't listen to Him speak, our relationship that we're saying is a relationship gets reduced to religion. It becomes about the task and about the to-dos and this and that. That's what happens to Christians who don't pray and seek the Lord's help and get His strength. And so we could say, you know, honestly, Pastor Leo, I've never known a good praying Christian to cause problems in church. I've never known somebody that I knew had a walk with God, I mean, involved in prayer, that left church, that went back on God in some way. Those people, it just doesn't happen. And so what I'm telling you tonight is prayer is vital to our spiritual warfare. You know, back in Ephesians, that's pretty much what I wanted to look at in Job. Go back to Ephesians, if you would. Because I would point out that this thing that he says we are wrestling, we wrestle not, verse 12, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Let me ask you something. Does it take any wrestling just to come to church and sit in the pew? Sometimes it does. I'll give you that. I'm more saying, does it take any wrestling to be ineffective? Does it take any wrestling to be a non-factor, to not make a difference? It doesn't. We're supposed to be fighting to advance. We're supposed to be wrestling in this spiritual thing. And so I want you to see that what Paul is getting at when he wrote this to the Ephesians, right after verse 18 is verse 19, and he asks for boldness to preach the gospel. And so the goal of where we're going is an evangelistic one. It is that of spreading the gospel, of being effective to other people. And so let me give you an illustration about prayer in the battlefield. In the Vietnam War, our forces were overseas. They were in an environment that they had never fought in before. This jungle warfare was something completely new to our soldiers. They had never been introduced to it before, and so they were largely ineffective at warfare in the jungle. On top of that, they were not accustomed to the climate there and the different difficulties that they encountered in the environment. And also, they were fighting against someone who we later found out had an enormous home field advantage. Let me remind you whose territory we're in. We don't belong here. This is not our home. We were reminded today that this place is under God has given Satan. He calls him the prince of the power of the air. He rules the darkness of this world. This is his turf. This is his territory. He has home field advantage. He has all the snares laid out there for us. If you don't believe me, drive down the interstate and look at the billboards. If you don't believe me, flip through the radio stations. Tell me how many gospel channels you encounter. You can't do it. And you can't listen to, you can't leave that radio dial on that channel more than a second because you'll hear filth. So in this environment in the jungle, thing that these soldiers could do, what do you think it was? They had a radio. And this job of the radio man was one of the most important jobs, especially in that war, but in any battlefield. Now, they would typically have a 3-foot antenna on top of them. But because they were in the jungle and they got bad reception and they had all these difficulties, they had to upgrade it to a model that had a 10-foot antenna. The pack that they wore to carry the radio was about 34 pounds. They would have spare batteries that they had to carry that would add probably an extra 15 pounds or so. On top of that was they had to carry weapons and ammo to fight with. All in all, these radio men would carry about 54 to 60 pounds with them, which is a little more than the regular soldiers would carry. And in order to use their radio, they would have to stick an antenna 10 feet straight up in the air. That is to put a giant bullseye on your location to the enemy. When these radio men, when they were enlisted, they would go to combat training. They would walk in the room, and the instructor, the drill sergeant, whatever, he had on the board the giant number 5. They would come in and take their seats, and after a minute, someone would say, "Okay, what's the 5 for?" And he would tell them, "That is your life expectancy in a combat zone. In a firefight, your life expectancy is 5 seconds. Because as soon as you raise that radio, the entire barrage of the enemy forces, the mortars, the gunfire, everything will be aimed at your location. Because they do not want you to call in an airstrike." And so somewhere between 5 and 30 seconds is how long those radio men would last. But if their message got through, if they were able to call in an airstrike, the cavalry would show up. The bombs would be dropped. They would have the advantage they needed to win that territory. You see, to call in that power to defeat the enemy, the soldier had to give away his location. He had to come out of hiding. He had to say, essentially, I'm going to show that I'm on the other side. I'm going to not be afraid of what the enemy is going to do because it's more important that I get a message through to heaven and he could get victory. You see, the devil does not like to see antennas go up. The devil does not like for us to call on God, who he knows is all-powerful. And so in spiritual warfare, for us to spend time... Now listen, I don't think it bothers the devil one bit when we sit in McDonald's and we bow our heads and people look at us and go, "Can you believe these guys?" And we go, "Jesus, thank you for my hamburger. Amen." I don't think that bothers the devil. I really don't. I don't think it bothers the devil when I hop in my car in the morning and I say, God, please give me a good day. Thank you. Amen. I mean, real prayer bothers the devil. I mean, not just, hey, I hope everything goes good. I want to have a good day kind of prayers. I mean prayers that get in touch with God. This praying, look at verse 18 with me. We're going to try to get into a little bit of meat here before the end. Praying always. When should we pray? Always. Always. With all prayer and supplication. Supplication is a word for requesting or entreating. It's more than just asking. It's petitioning. It gives the idea that Jesus gave us about going to God in prayer and going often. You think about it, and if we were only meant to spend 5 minutes in prayer, why did the Lord spend 3 hours in prayer? Why did the Lord fast for 40 days in the wilderness and pray? And so the example Jesus gives us of praying with some time attached to it. And so in the Spirit, you know something, we just talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is not such without the Spirit of God involved. We're also to pray in the Spirit. You know, the Bible tells us that we often don't know what we should pray for. The Holy Spirit speaks to God in heaven for us and prays and asks for what we need. Watching thereunto, keeping watch in prayer. The idea, I mean literally, is staying next to that radio and just watching for the enemy to move. To just sit up, to sit next to the radio and to watch, what do I need to pray for? Who is in need of prayer today? Who can I pray for? And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know what Paul reminds them of in verse 18? Spiritual warfare is not just about you having your armor on and you doing what you need to do and you being taken care of. Spiritual warfare, one of the biggest aspects of being in an army is camaraderie. Is the fact that it's not just one soldier. Is the fact that there is an army that works together. Listen, I am responsible to pray for each and every one of you. Not because I'm a pastor here at Charity Baptist Church, but because I'm one of the saints that you should be praying for. Because we are both in spiritual warfare. Because we are both in need of God's help. And according to verse 18, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. I mean, I should thoroughly be praying for every person that my mind can think of that comes to my heart. And so I want to encourage you, think about others. Think about not just our prayer list and those who are sick. I mean, look, watching. You know something? If we came to church and instead of looking for ways to be offended, if we looked for things to pray about, we might come up with the same list, but we'd definitely have a different outcome, wouldn't we? And so prayer is so vitally important for us. And prayer here, he tells them to pray as much as they can, all the time, for everything. I mean, constant and thorough prayer. Verse 19, and pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This prayer thing, Once again, I'm telling you, it's not about just, I hope that, Lord, please help everyone to be okay. Please help everyone to be safe. Please help everyone to, no, listen. I am praying for you so that you can have a gospel ministry. I'm praying for you so that you can, yes, be protected from the devil, be protected from his wiles and from the fiery darts. And I'm praying that you'll have what you need, but I'm praying that you will have a gospel effective ministry, that you will share the gospel boldly with this world. And so Paul asks for that prayer. I appreciate it. When I the first time I saw Pastor Leo's prayer email, And at the top of the list is pray for Pastor Leo that in his gospel ministry. Pray for him as he reaches out. And that is so important. Pray for Pastor Leo. Pray for myself. Pray for those who come faithfully soul winning every day. Every week. And do it every day, hopefully. But tonight, if the devil can't hop in and drive your car, then he's definitely going to try to change the road signs. If he can't have control, he is definitely going to try to affect the outcome. If he can't be in charge, and if he can't just come in and take control, he is going to do absolutely everything he can to affect what we do for Christ. The most important thing that we can do. I'm guilty often, and I feel it, when I say, well, I wish I could do something, but I'll just pray. What an ironic statement. We ought to pray first, and then see if there's anything we can do to help after. But it should always be prayer. Prayer is truly the only way that we can battle. Prayer acknowledges our need for God. Praying shows our dependence on God. I want to point out one thing, and then I'll be finished. What is the ministry of Jesus Christ right now? He is our intercessor in heaven. Jesus Christ right now, the most important thing that he can be doing with God the Father in heaven is making sure that God is aware, that God hears our prayers, that God is asked for things for us. If that's the most important thing that he can be doing, how much more important is it for us to be praying? I haven't said all that I intended to say, but I think I will close with that. Let's pray, and then just briefly, and then we'll go to the prayer list. Father, I pray tonight that through some of what's been said, you've challenged our hearts about prayer. God, it's such an important thing for us to focus on. It's often neglected. It's easily neglected. But Lord, if we're depending on you, we can't claim to depend on you and not be people of prayer. We can't claim to depend on you, to be doing things in your strength and your might, if we never call on you for help. Father, I pray that you would help us to be people who pray often, who pray always, who pray about everything, to lift each other up. Father, I believe with all my heart that you want to do great things here at Charity Baptist Church, that you want to save souls, change lives, that you want to have families come and join and get involved in the gospel ministry. But Father, the devil is after us. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And if we're not people of prayer, we're not people who seek you constantly for help and do things in your strength and your might, then God, we will be devoured. You will, Father, you will work in our midst if we'll pray. Thank you so much, Father, for the encouragement from your word tonight. I pray that you'd bless it. I pray you bless the rest of our evening. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.